Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, inviting you to join us on these two special Christmas editions of Let's Talk About Jesus before the great holy day for Christians, great holiday for the world, but it's a holy day for us who know the real reason for the season. We're so glad you've joined us today right here on WMAF. If you'll take 30 minutes of your time today, sounds like a long time, but it really isn't. It's going to go very, very fast because we're going to get into the Word of God and pray that by the help of the Holy Spirit that God's Word gets in us today and that we are able to grasp what the title of this teaching is, the mystery and the majesty of Christmas, to really get a grasp of what this really means to us if we know Jesus Christ and what it can mean to you if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Please stay tuned, be our special guest, and see the real story of Christmas and what it means, not just for you in the present tense, but in the eternal sense. Praise God. Amen. Let's just open our hearts as we open the Word of God today, and let's see what the Lord has to say to us on this great subject. I hope you're intrigued by it. I'm excited about it, the mystery and the majesty of Christmas. And we're going to begin our study in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And first we're going to talk about the mystery. Just before we do, let me give you our website address. If you would like to come and visit us on our website, just type in THCOG. THCOG. That will take you to the Holy Church of God, Incorporated right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. And to you that are in Madison and North Florida, if you know someone that you believe that this broadcast would be a blessing to, you can be a media missionary without leaving your home. All you have to do is email them the call letters of this station, WMAF, and so they can type it in on their search engine, WMAF Radio Home, and it will take them to the homepage of WMAF where this broadcast is streaming live all over the world, anywhere in America, anywhere in the world that anyone is on the World Wide Web on their computer, and they can listen as this broadcast streams live. Other than that, people can come to our website and download the recent and many other editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. And because it's in a 30-minute context and there's a lot of scripture here on whatever the subject matter is that is being used, it has been suggested by our webmaster, our web media missionary minister, who is highly anointed, that this would be a beautiful program to use for a Bible study or a group Bible study to take these scriptures, take these subjects, and systematically sit down and open the Word of God together and just let it get inside of you today. Praise God. Amen. All right. Having invited you and said that, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 on the subject, the mystery and the majesty of Christmas. First, we want to talk about the mystery. And it begins in verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it is written, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Now here comes the Christmas story. Listen, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. I like the Amplified translation, for it says, "And great and important and weighty, we confess is the hidden truth, the mystic secret of godliness. He, God, was made visible in human flesh, justified and vindicated in the Holy Spirit, was seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory." Praise God. God God was made visible in human flesh. This is the mystery of Christmas, that God would become incarnate. In that baby in Bethlehem was God taking on flesh, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. God became flesh. This is a crucial, critical issue in the Christian faith, because the Bible said every spirit that does not confess that God has come in the flesh is antichrist, not just anti-Christian. It's not just some opposing belief to the Christian faith. It's antichrist. It's a personal affront and attack on the truth about Jesus Christ today. It is vitally important that we understand this. And there's a scripture in that context in 1 John that's so important to us today, because it says he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. And we think of that many times as the power of God within us as opposed to the power of this fallen angel, Satan, and how superior we are in power over him. And truly we are superior in power. And yes, the greater power is within the believer. But I want you to know that Satan's power is not in his strength against God's strength within us. It's his deceptive power. And the armor of God is so that we can overcome the wiles of the devil, not the strength in terms of abject power and force, but the strength of deception and delusion. And that's why the statement in Scripture, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, is concerning discernment, being able to understand and perceive the spirit that works in this world, the spirit of Antichrist. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that God became flesh, that God became incarnate in flesh, is antichrist. Praise God. Listen to me today, friend. What mystery this is. What grace, what mercy, what love, that the very God of all creation would leave the splendor of heaven and come down to this fallen world to become one of us, not just one with us, but one of us, yet without sin, to become one with us and make us one with him, and to go to the cross and lay down his life that he might give us life eternal. Praise God. Amen. This is the Christmas message. It is a mystery. How can Jesus, this baby in this manger, be very God and very human, very God and very man, very spirit and very flesh simultaneously? Well, one scripture stands out to me right now, and that's why this is a mystery. It boggles our mind to consider the ramifications of that truth. But the Bible said the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Let me read this to you from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Listen carefully. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now, jump down to verse 14. Verse 14 of John 1. Listen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. I want to read that again. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. When did that occur? And how does this relate directly, distinctly to Christmas for the believer, if it's going to be the holy day and not just a holiday? Listen carefully. And the Word was made flesh. That occurred on that night in that little city of bread, that city called Bethlehem. Hallelujah. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This one line encapsulates the entire Christmas story, the entire message of the birth of Jesus Christ. The Word, God's fullness, the second person of the Trinity, sent by God as a message, the message of love and goodness and God's real presence in this fallen world. Sent to dwell in flesh, sent to be human, sent to live among us and speak our language so that we might receive Him and understand what God wants us to hear and to know what was previously hidden. Hallelujah. Praise God. To know the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel, if you will turn with me, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. It said, speaking of Joseph, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted, here it is again, is God with us. God has come in the flesh, in the person of that holy child that was born. What a mystery! A virgin conceiving, a child of the Holy Ghost, a supernatural conception, God incarnate in flesh, Son of Man and Son of God simultaneously, Son of God and God the Son. Hallelujah. Without controversy. No wonder it began that way in our teaching. Without controversy, the Christ of Christmas is full of mystery. It's crucial to our faith in this day of false teachings and false teachers and false Christ to hold steadfast to the fact that Christ was God manifest in the flesh, God incarnate. It is one of those cardinal truths to the Christian faith. Now let's put this in context. This is so important to what we believe and why we believe it, and why the Christian faith has this distinctive that makes it the true Christian faith. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh, incarnate, is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. But this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because," and here's the context for this statement that sometimes is taken out of context, "greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, greater is the Holy Spirit in us, amen, than he that is in the world. "They that are of the world, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the Spirit of truth, and we know the spirit of error. If you're a Christian today, you have no problem with what you're hearing. You don't have any kind of attitude of rejection to the truth of the gospel through the Word of God. But if you're not of God today, you haven't come to Christ as your Savior, it is intrinsic in our own fallen nature to resist and reject this light and this truth. Ah, but the Holy Spirit has come to call us out of darkness into this marvelous light, this wonderful revelation and realization of what God has done in and through Jesus Christ in sending Him into this fallen world to become very man while being very God, and therefore qualify to shed sinless blood upon the cross, the only kind of sacrifice of this magnitude that God could accept was a man to hang on that cross in our behalf, take our punishment, and shed His innocent, sinless blood. Amen. And Jesus came to do that very thing, and He did it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Confessing that Jesus has come in the flesh means that the Messiah is very God and very man. Many people believe that a good man was born in the Middle East, a great teacher, a prophet, a priest. But a virgin birth, an immaculate conception, God manifest in the flesh, God with us, they say no way. No way. Those who hold this view do not know the Christ of the Bible. But He that is in us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is greater than he, the devil, the spirit of lies, that is in the world. We understand the mystery of Christmas because we believe that Jesus Christ is indeed God with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 16, verse 25 and 26. Listen to this carefully. Now unto Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, hallelujah, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. This mystery that was kept secret since the world began. You can see this. You know, Jesus was not an afterthought. Jesus was not some emergency implemented decision to send Him to be born and to go to the cross. This in the mind of God, in the plan of God, who sees the end from the beginning. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ as Lamb of God in the New Testament, and He didn't begin that journey to the cross to be our sacrifice Lamb. He didn't begin that plan of salvation when He was born. That plan was in the heart and the mind of God, the triune God, from the foundation of the earth. The Bible literally calls Jesus the Lamb that was slain, not just at Calvary on that fateful day at 33 years of age, but the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Praise God. This mystery hid from the very beginning was manifest. It began to be made clear, made plain, and to play out when that baby was born in Bethlehem a little over 2,000 years ago, who would grow to become a man and at 30 years of age would declare, amen, Himself to be the Messiah and the Savior of the world. Glory to God. And at 33, made that fateful trip up Golgotha's hill to Calvary's cross, and He hung on it until the sin debt for you and me, dear friend, was paid in full. To wit, the Scripture says, God was in Jesus Christ. He never ceased being God while He hung as a man forsaken of God on that cross. What a mystery! God crying out to God. God saying, why hast thou forsaken me? Because He died as a man forsaken of God, taking the punishment that we all deserve, that if we put our trust in Him, we might be forgiven and granted the grace to receive eternal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now unto Him, I want to read it again. Now unto Him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. The reason we're making known, we are commanded to make known the revelation of who Jesus is and what He came to accomplish and what in fact He did accomplish is for the obedience of faith. God said, I want you to know the real story. I want you to know the real reason. I want you to know the spiritual impact of this child's birth and His death and His resurrection. Praise God. I want you to know exactly what the plan of salvation was at the beginning of the world and how it played out in the life, the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the coming again of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, I'm excited about Christmas because I know that I will not find peace wrapped up neatly in a package underneath the tree. No matter how much was paid for the gift, there is no peace. The Bible said unto the wicked, you can't buy it. There's no marketplace in the world or the universe that has it up for sale. Amen. But there is peace in knowing that your sins are forgiven. And how far, how much God loved you, and how far He was willing to go to express that love to us. Praise God. To condescend to come down from heaven in the person of Jesus and to lay helpless in a manger and to grow up just like any other child grew up and to go to the cross and hang on it as a man abandoned by God and judged for sin who committed no sin so that you and I might have our sins forgiven. That is the mystery, and we're beginning to touch on the majesty also of Christmas. Hallelujah. But today, God wants you to know how much He loved the world. When He spoke those words, they were not mere sentimental sayings. For God so loved the world in John 3:16. Amen. He began to carry out that statement of love when He sent His love packaged in a little frail human body. Amen. On that day, that night, oh, holy night, praise God. Never a night like that night when God came down to us. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, this statement that I heard someone make years and years ago has always stuck with me, and it seems to come back in focus and view, particularly during this season. The Son of God was made the Son of Man, so that the sons of men might be made the sons of God. You see, everyone that trusts in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you repent of your sin and receive Jesus and ask forgiveness. I'll tell you right now, you were a sinner. You have been saved by grace, but you're not just an old sinner, still a slave to sin with Satan and the devil still in your family tree. Amen. Praise God. Paul said, now that has occurred, you are the sons of God. Hallelujah. You're the daughters of Almighty God. You've been brought into His royal family, and now you are the very sons of God. Hallelujah. This mystery, this majesty, this grace, this goodness, this love demands a response from you and from me. Today the response, if you're a Christian, is to separate the holy day from the holiday. That doesn't mean we don't celebrate Christmas. In fact, I'm on record as saying I want to out-celebrate the people around me in my neighborhood that don't know Christ as their Savior. I want to out-celebrate them because I know the mystery of godliness. I know Christ as my Savior. I know what He has done for me, and it's still bowls me over. It still takes me back. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that the God of all creation would come down, take on flesh, go to the cross, be my substitute, my sacrifice lamb, suffer sin's consequence in my behalf so that I could be forgiven? Legitimately, legally, forensically, amen, that I could be forgiven. Not only did He take my sin on that cross, but He gave me His innocence. And it's called righteousness. God's righteousness has been imparted to those who have been forgiven their sin. Amen. And now we have a standing with God called in the Scripture in the New Testament, joint seating with Jesus. Hallelujah. We've been seated with Him far above all principality and power. Satan cannot accuse us. He cannot. He has to relinquish His hold on us. Praise God. Amen. This is what makes this holiday a holy day in the Christian faith. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is why this message is being brought to you, so that you can come to know Him. Amen. This message is made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, that you would obey God's call to repentance, that you would obey God's call to salvation, that you would put your faith, repent of your sin, and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And then that you might know the true joy of Christmas. And when you hear "Joy to the World, the Lord has come," you will know exactly what that is talking about. When you hear the message of "Peace on earth, goodwill to men," you will know that peace for yourself, in your own heart, in your own home. So we pray today that if you don't know Jesus, that you will open your heart right now. Accept Him as your Lord and your Savior, and let this be the holiest, happiest Christmas that you have ever had. We've got one more broadcast before Christmas Day. Don't miss it next week, right here on WMAF.